Are starting Kuntres Acharon, which is found on page Kuf Nun Gimel, which corresponds to page 305 on the top of numbers. Kuntres Acharon are insights that the Alter Rebbe wrote primarily for himself. They were not for publication, which means that they didn't necessarily have to be comprehensible. There is a story in the Gemara that says, in the law, it's in Masechta Brachos, it says, for example, that if a person cannot contain themselves, they would be allowed to say words of Torah in the bathroom. Okay, a person can't hold himself back. I should have such a problem, right? Oh, I can't stop talking Torah. I even said it. So it says that Rabbi Meir once followed Rabbi Akiva to the outhouse. Okay? And he went and he listened to what Rabbi Akiva was saying while he was going to the bathroom. And Rabbi Meir, this is number one student, who's the teacher of Rabbi Yehuda, who's the redactor of the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Meir said, I have no idea what he was talking about. Because he wasn't talking in order to teach, he was talking just to get what's going on in his own mind for himself. So, I once had a teacher in yeshiva who had a formidable knowledge of Hasidic philosophy. And he once commented to me, because we do Tanya every single day so that we finish it in the course of a year. And we finish it on the 18th of Kislev. Mm-hmm. So he once commented to me that he can't wait for Yid Tes Kislev. So why? He says, because then, when they start to Tanya over again, he'll finally start understanding what it's talking about. Okay, so that was 37 years ago. So there have been commentaries that have written about it since. And with a little bit of help from the Almighty, I hope to be able to teach. This is the first time I'm actually teaching Kuntres Acharon. Okay, I've never had a class that's gone this far. First, so we're going to have to really, really expound it and explain it. So it says, Kuntres Acharon al Kama Parakim. It says, the word Kuntres means pamphlet, Acharon, the last pamphlet. So it was an addendum which was stuck in by the author's children posthumously. In the first edition of the Tanya, the first couple editions of the Tanya, there was no Kuntres Acharon. It wasn't until much later. And it discusses the insights that in the writings that were found after the Alter Rebbe passed away. And therefore, since it was relevant to Tanya, so the Mittler Rebbe felt it would be proper to stick it in at the back of the Tanya. Okay, just as you get some more insight, or as I say, just if you ever thought that you actually understand what the Tanya was talking about, well, here's a little insight for you that you haven't got a clue. Okay, now, just to scare you away. So in this first letter, which is short, it's called Essay Number 1. It ends on, actually, the bottom of the next page, where it says, Ein Eitzheim. So, in this letter, he raises two questions. One question is something which was brought up in chapter 39 that says that a person, when they learn Torah, they become connected to the will and wisdom of Hashem. Okay? So, he asks a question, okay, I understand halacha, what about studying stories? If you're reading the stories of Bereishis and these things, how's that supposed to connect you? And we'll explain what the question is. And the other question, he brings in a statement concerning thinking words of Torah. Okay, and the statement which is brought up in the Gemara that a person who is without just the contemplating the words of Torah, a person hasn't fulfilled their obligations until they actually say it. That's by Kriyat Shema, by Torah, by by benching, these type of things. Okay, so he says, now lahavin eich hakira b'sipurim ma'isa shebetera he makusher b'chochma ilah. To understand how it is, he's not even asking this a question. He's saying, I'm going to go right to the answer. We're going to, what we want to understand is, how is it that if you're sitting and studying the stories of Adam and a flood and a tower of Babel and the patriarchs and Moshe and Yisias Mitzrayim and stories in the desert, how is this connect a person's intellect with Chachma Illah? You're not really doing anything. You're reading a story. You see, you're kicking back and you're reading a story. Okay? So is that connecting a person to Chochmah Ilah, to the wisdom of Hashem, to the depth of Hashem? You're not doing anything. And he says, it clarifies, for example, in chapter 5, he says that if it is, for example, a person is learning halacha, that Reuven says such and such, and Shimon says such and such, and the halacha is going to be such and such. So what does he do already? He's got three things going on already. He's got a plaintiff, he's got two litigants, and a redaction of the halacha. So you have to understand that in Torah, which one of those two opinions is saying the right opinion? They're both. Reuven and Shimon are both saying something which is valid. Because if it wouldn't be valid, it wouldn't be in Torah. Okay, if you have one litigant making a claim and the other one making a counterclaim which has absolutely no validity or makes any sense whatsoever, it's not a claim. So what Shimon is saying is also true. But we're going to have to do, like for example, you have the first Mishnah in Baba Metzia. Okay? Two people find something, they're coming to court, they're grabbing on a talus, and one says, I found it first, this is all mine. I found it first, this is all mine. Okay? It is impossible physically for both of them to have been first. So one of them is lying. Okay? But each one comes up with the claim. Well, you're going to say he's not lying. He's not intentionally lying. One of them is not telling the truth.
They think they are.
But they have their claim as to why it should be considered that they are the ones who should get the whole thing. So then what's the halacha is we make them both swear that they don't have less than half and we divide it. Because we have no other recourse. We have no other way of proving it. We don't know what happened. There's no witnesses. It's one word versus the other. And we do what we possibly can. So now we have to understand Reuven's claim, Shimon's claim, and the statement, the final result, which is put forth by the court. Okay, so there now, so it says, it may never happen that you can have two people coming into a Beis Din, both of them grabbing onto something, and both of them saying it's all mine, and we have to divide the thing. It could be that it never, ever happened. But, the Alter Rebbe says, back in chapter 5, Yafal Pikein, it's the Chachma V'Ratzayna Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the will and wisdom of Hashem. Because the person has gone through, and specifically we say, the halacha follows Bavli. If there's an argument between Bavli and Yerushalmi, Bavli says you can, Yerushalmi says you can't. Usually it's vice versa. We follow Bavli because in Bavli, there's more give and take in the designing, the rendering of the halacha. Talmud Bavli takes up 20 thick volumes. Talmud Yerushalmi takes up 7 medium-sized volumes. Okay? Talmud Bavli takes 7.5 years to finish on Daf Yomi. And Talmud Yerushalmi takes a little more than 3 years. And it's only because of all the commentaries on the pages, rather than the length of the Gemara page itself. Okay, so we say the halacha is like Bavli because of the pilpul, because of the give and take, the back and the forth. People worked at it, and therefore they came to come to a conclusion. So you can understand now. Okay, I really had to work. I had to put myself into it. I had to shvitz v'hegisa b'yamim b'layla. I toiled in it, and now I understand that my neshama could be connected to the wisdom of Hashem. Okay. But if I'm kicking back and reading on Shabbos afternoon, I'm reading a story about an Avraham or a Rabbi Akiva, what's the deal there? I'm not engaging any great depth of knowledge. He says it. Facts, it says clearly. Eifa Maisa Frekman Nishken Kashas. Somebody's telling you a story. And you say, but wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. How could such a thing like that have happened? And you say, it happened. You can't ask.
I thought you're supposed to learn from your Rebbe by watching them. Or your, the people you watch the people you learn from by how they behave.
Okay.
So when you learn about our patriarchs and our people before us, you learn how they behaved, how Hashem responded, how others responded, how they counter-responded, and we learn, and that Hashem wants us to learn. I thought that's...
If you just, you're supposed to do that, yes.
Yeah.
But it could just very well be that when you're sitting and reading a story from the Chumash, you know, Bible stories for children, you know, so what are you conveying? Yeah, conveying that Moshe was in a basket. You're not saying, oh, the basket was analogous of this and Moshe was that, and, you know, this, and, you know, the whole thing of it. You're telling the kid a nice story.
You got Miriam watching the basket, and you see a level of responsibility and care.
Okay, good. Okay, and your kid's going to pick that up when?
When the not
yeah
six.
Okay so not yeah six. Not when you're telling them bedtime parsha stories.
For an adult reading a shop.
Okay,
level.
Good. No,
good.
So just reading the story. So he says we can understand this by what it says. Al pimasha kozel bekavanas daf tezayin amid base. So it says in the kavanas, which I think is a Kabbalist. It doesn't say who he was. I don't have it sitting on my shelf, and I don't know who it is. It says there's a statement, an explanation from the Mezitcher Magid. We talked about this recently, I believe. There's a statement, Dama Lamaila Mimcha. You should know what's above you. Okay, very often it's written on like the Stenders and Shuls or on the top of this, the Bima and the Iron Equators. Yeah. You should know what's above you. Okay. The Mezitcher Magid sang it just a little bit differently. It says, "Da, you should know, Mala Mila, that which is above, Mimcha is from you." Meaning, if you're doing something down here, it's happening up above. Okay, we are the foundation for the entire creation process. That being so, when we do something which elevates us in our world, so we elevate the entire spectrum of the creation. So it says, so there's something called, he said back in chapter 3, that we are patterned after, he didn't say exactly this, we are patterned after what's referred to as Adam Ha'elyon. What's Adam Ha'elyon? Adam Ha'elyon are the 10 spheres of Atzilus. Because you have different ways in which the spheres are presented. The normal way that you see most of all, which is Chabad likes the best, is called the Eitz Chaim, with the three segels going on over there and the lines. You know, you have the three, you have Keser, and onto the right and left you have Chochma and Bina, and underneath that you have Teferes, or you have Das, etc., and it repeats itself three times. That's called the Eitz Chaim. But there's another one where there's a picture of a man, and the spheres are laid out, overlaid on the guy's body. Okay, Kesser's on the top of his head, and Chochmah and Bina is in the right and left side, and it's the same alignment, but now it's aligning to body parts. And that's taken from the Zohar in Pasuk Eliyahu, where it says, like Chesed Deru Yamina and Gvura Smala, that the right hand, the kindness is the right hand, and Gvura is the left hand, and the torso is Teferis, etc. So it's patterned after a man. It probably something like, very much looks like the, what was it called, it's not the Vesuvius man, Vitruvius man?
Da Vinci's dude
over there with the hands over there. So it's similar to that. It may have come actually from that kind of a thing. I don't know who had it first. But so it is patterned after a dude. Meaning, and so then we said that we, when it says Nasa Adam, but Salmeno, that Hashem said, let's make man in our image. So what is it that he was talking about is that we are patterned after the 10 spheres of Atzilus. We have an intellect, we have emotions, we have practical applicators, we have all of that. So, since it is, and our source of our attributes is drawn directly from those attributes. So our level of wisdom is drawn from Chochma Vatzilus. So this is a seer sitting and talking Torah. This is why he brings in this whole thing later about thinking. You're sitting and talking Torah. So what's happening is you are giving a charge to the entire spectrum of creation such that the supernal man, meaning the ten spheres of Vatzilus, are also talking Torah.
Lit up.
Yeah, they're all lit up. They're all doing whatever they're doing over there. The chatter that's going on, it's, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Because one of the things which is incumbent on every Jew is to find a chiddush in the Torah. It says, Yesh shishim ribi oisiyus l'Torah. Israel, an abbreviation for there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That means that everybody is a representative of a letter in the Torah. What does that mean that you are a letter in the Torah? That means you have your specific assigned portion in the Torah that no one else has. Yeah? Which means you have to bring that portion which is unique to you out into revelation for everybody. Okay, so when we're sitting and learning about an Avraham, a Moshe in a basket, etc., so what's going on in Chachma and Bina of Atzilus is there's an expression, there's a derivatives of Torah which is going on through them, through the will and wisdom of Hashem. And this also happens, by the way, if you're just looking, he's going to talk about this, he's going to raise a question over here. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking at the words of the Torah, okay, and you're not actually saying them, so something's happening. Okay, and in fact, okay, so what happens? It talks about it. You're supposed to be talking about Lech Techa V'Derech, right? When you're walking on the way, you're supposed to be talking words of Torah.
Mm-hmm. And
what happens if you're in a Mavoi Metunef, a filthy alleyway? Not allowed to talk to her in a filthy alleyway. Because actually, there's a very cute tshuva from the Minchas Aluzer. Minchas Aluzer was the Munkacs Rebbe. Passed away, I think, 1933 in Munkacs, Hungary. So somebody asked him about talking to her on the phone. You have this new thing called a telephone. Okay? So you're allowed to talk Torah on the telephone. In the Munkacs Rebbe, no. Because the wires of the telephone go through the back alleyways, which are disgusting places. It's all garbage and the excrement that's over there and all kinds of vermin. And since those are the wires, so the words of Torah are going through the alleyways and you can't talk words of Torah. So this just tells me that the Munkacher had no clue what a telephone was or how a telephone worked.
How it worked.
Yeah. Because there's no words passing through the electric wires. It's not a hollow tube and the sound is traveling through it. Okay, so what's supposed to happen, you're walking on the road and you come to Mavoi Metunef, a place where you're not allowed to say words of Torah. So it says, what should you do? You should think words of Torah. Okay, you can't say the words because it's a disgusting place, but at least you should think the words of Torah. What's going to do to think the words of Torah? We'd say all over the place. He's going to say right here. Hear lav kedibur dami. Thinking's not like speaking. You didn't do anything if you're just sitting and thinking, but people are such. The Torah recommends that you do the thinking because we are such. We don't have an off switch for our brains. We have an idle switch, yes. When your wife asks you, what are you thinking? You say, nothing. You're actually thinking about nothing. Yeah, that's true. You have an idle switch, but idle minds are usually thinking the wrong things. And wrong meaning not the right thing. It doesn't necessarily be wrong, but it's not. The person's not engaged in Torah. So like this, if a person is actively engaged in thinking Torah concepts, so their mind is at least focused on Torah and spirituality, whereas if they were walking through a dirty alleyway and they're just thinking whatever, so their mind is already directed away from Kedusha. You can't have that. Okay, so Aval Dibor Yeshlimer the Baikiv Visalach Latzilas Mamish. So it says, what happens when a person speaks the words of Torah? The words themselves pierce through to Atzilus, or at least with to the world of Bria to creation. If the person is saying those words of Torah, b'dechila v'rechila sichliim, with intellectual love and fear, ayli yitzira b'dechila v'rechima tevim, or to at least the world of formation, if he was sitting and thinking those words of Torah, expressing those words of Torah with the natural love and fear that he has. Okay, so he said back in chapter 40, which is what this thing said, it says that this is Kuntra Zachron on several chapters of Tzilkuti, See Lakuti Amorim, chapter 40. I forgot to read that before. At the beginning it says, I am Lakuti Amorim Chalikal Perik Mem. I forgot to read that. Because this is what the thing over here is that we love and fear are called the wings of the dove. And just as it is that a bird needs wings to fly, so too also the Torah and the mitzvahs that a Jew performs needs wings, meaning love and fear of Hashem, in order that they fly. The stronger the wings, the greater the flight. Eagles have massive wingspans. They fly very high and very far because they have big wings. Okay, chickens, their wings are not so developed. They don't fly too well at all.
Only to a plate.
Yeah. They did that little styrofoam tray thing you get in the supermarket, yes. So depending on the development of the wings is going to be, how's it going to fly? So, a tzaddik who relates to Hashem in a way which is beyond intellect. So his Torah is elevated to the world of Atzilus. Us, he doesn't even go into that over here, because this is Sefer Shel Beinonim. The Alter Rebbe did wrote a book called Sefer Shel Tzaddikim, the book for the righteous people. It was unfortunately lost in a fire in Liadi, the only existent copy, and the Alter Rebbe was very upset that was missing. That's why we don't have all the volumes of Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. There was 10 volumes. We have 4 plus a little bit. And even in the 4, there's certain chapters that are missing. So we're not going to even tell you. He doesn't even talk about that over here. But now, so a person does like it says in chapters 1-18. And he meditates on the greatness of Hashem and understands that by him sitting and learning and doing mitzvahs, he's making this connection to Hashem. And this causes him to develop a love relationship with Hashem based on this meditation. So that causes his deeds and his Torah to be elevated to the world of Bria to creation, because creation is an expression of Bina, of understanding. It says in the Zohar that, what is it? Abba miknana be'atzilus ve'ema miknana be'bria. Chachma rests in atzilus. Because Chachma is ethereal. Chachma is a point. You can't grab Chachma. You can't say, right now I'm dealing with Chachma. Doesn't work. Chachma is just a flash. Bina, when you say the aha, the understanding of it, giving it development, so that's already in Bria. So a person has this developed intellectual love and fear, and that's what's his impetus for learning. And when he learns, it feels that he's getting closer to Hashem and developing a greater awe for Hashem. So his Torah rises up to Bria. Then in chapters 18, I said 1-18, it's 1-17. Chapters 18-25. So there the Alter Rebbe says, but every Jew has a natural love for Hashem, which all a person needs to do is just bring it out, give himself a good pep talk. Yay, God, I get to learn Torah and feel an excitement just from the experience of it, and have this natural love and admiration and respect that this Jew has for Hashem. So that causes his Torah and his mitzvahs to rise to the world of Yetzirah. That Yetzirah is the place of Hashem's emotions specifically. Okay, and if a person just does a mitzvah, not for any ulterior motive, but simply to serve Hashem, but doesn't feel any great admiration, amiability, or animosity, or anything, doesn't feel, he's just doing it. He's doing it because Hashem said so. So his Torah and mitzvahs are elevated from this world to the world of Asiya, the spiritual world of action.
Just grappling with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yiras Hashem gets you to...
Intellect gets you to Bria. Natural emotion gets you to Tzira. Just doing it for the right reason gets you to...
The highest level.
Gets to Asiya.
Asiya is the lowest level.
Yeah, the bottom level.
Okay.
Oh, and Atzilus, that's why I've got and Atzilus we're not even talking about, because I don't know how to get there from
here. The safer is... That's for say Shaper Sadiqim.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. I got a little confused in the level, sorry.
Okay. Now, so this he says, so this can do it even by thinking. Okay? So the person's in a place where he's not allowed to talk, he's going to do it by thinking. Okay? So he says, wait a minute. Mashikosa Bizarre Gimel Dafkuf Hey. The here who law of admitted. If you're just thinking, you did nothing. But it says in the Zohar. You're just thinking, you didn't do anything. We live in the world of action. And you want to say, but wait a minute, we're talking about talking. Talking's not action. Talking's a little action. You got to move your mouth, at least. Okay? But in some aspects, but still, there's a great advantage to thought. There's a reason why there's no off switch for your thoughts. The reason is because thought is the closest garment to the neshama. And it is a constant expressor of the neshama. That's why it says that if a person thinks about doing something wrong, okay, so they didn't do anything. There's no punishment for thinking about doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. So somebody asked me today, okay, they yesterday was on Tisha B'Av. Okay, and they went to, since it was Sunday, it was like in the afternoon already, so they live close to a farmer's market, and they went to go buy vegetables to break the fast. Okay, and at the end of the farmer's market, in the parking lot, there's a food truck. Okay, and they were roasting chickens at this food truck. So he stood there for a while, and he was smelling it. He wanted to know, did he do something wrong? I said, did you buy the chickens? Did you eat the chickens? He said, no, I just smelled it. So he said, well, smell is the only sense that we have of our five senses that doesn't have a vera associated with it. You know, in Al-Hate, we say that for the glancing eye and for the ears mm-hmm. listening to Lashon Hara, you know, and things that are coming out of our mouth and putting our hands where they don't belong. All these things have a vera. You cannot smell
an avera.
An avera.
Oh, wow.
Okay? You cannot do an avera by smell. In fact, there is a story. The Alter Rebbe did not accept gifts from the Hasidim. There's many reasons that are offered. My personal one that I like the best is he just didn't want his house inundated with stuff. And he wasn't into it. Okay? If all of his Hasidim decided, oh, you know, first of all, Hasidim are going to have to start playing Can You Top This? You got the Rebbe one of those. I'm getting the Rebbe one of these. Aha.
Watch out on Purim.
Please. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. I saw what went into the Rebbe's house on Purim for Shalom Manas. These were baskets you could take a bath in. Okay? What's the Rebbe's? It's a Rebbe and the Rebbe's 80 years old. What are you going to do with this stuff? It all got given away to the yeshiva. Every single one of them, not even opened. They took the cards off and they just gave all the stuff away. Okay? So, the Alter Rebbe did make three exceptions, though. And I don't know what the story is. The Alter Rebbe accepted a Kiddush cup, silver Kiddush cup, a silver menorah, and a snuff box. A very small snuff. The snuff box mm-hmm. is about the size of the old match boxes. It had a little mm-hmm. lid and thing on it. So, when it, and it says, it mentions in the story that a Baal Tshuva gave the snuff box to the Alter Rebbe in appreciation of the Alter Rebbe showing him how to do tshuva. Okay? So the Alter Rebbe, when he was given this snuff box, said, the one limb of the body that doesn't have a taiva, that doesn't have any natural desires, and you want to give it a taiva? So he didn't return it. He says, what did he do? Is he took the top off the lid off of the box, and since it was such a shiny, polished silver, he used it as a mirror to straighten his tefillin shel rosh, to make sure his tefillin were straight. Okay? So the... So smell is nothing. Okay, we talk about if you have a piece of cheese sitting next to a salami in a refrigerator, and after a couple of weeks, the cheese smells like the salami. You're allowed to eat it because smell is nothing. Okay, so now. So what happens? So this guy, he's standing by the truck, and he's thinking that really smells very good. Okay, did he do something wrong? Technically speaking, no. I told him I wouldn't give you a shlishi for it, but he didn't do anything because thinking is nothing. So here it is, we said that if a person is in a place where they can't talk Torah, that at least they should be thinking Torah. We have another place that says that here a lav milsa, thinking is nothing. So what did he accomplish by thinking at that time? That's his question. It's an interesting thing I saw pointed out in one of the commentaries. The Gemara, the Zohar, they all use the expression, the verbiage, hear hor, which is translated contemplating. Okay? Why doesn't it say machshava? Machshava is a much more common word. The whole Tanya, what does he say? The three garments. Machshava, dibur, maisa. He doesn't say here or dibur, maisa. He does mention here in other places. So it's pointed out, the elder pointed out, I believe, I don't know where it is. Chapter 36, chapter 39, I'm not sure. That the Alter Rebbe points out that in each of the three garments has each of the three garments. So you have Maisa of thought, you have action of thought, you have speech of thought, and you have thought of thought. Okay, so action of thought is when you're like looking at the letters of the Torah and you see the letters and the word recognizes in your head, you get this picture of what the word is. That's the action of thought. Speaking of thought are those words that you're thinking of that you're going to say directly. Thought of heart, thought, which is called hirhur, contemplation, is just the thought as it is for in and of itself, not necessarily how it's going to be expressed. Okay, you see the three differences in levels of thought?
Yeah, but I was thinking of something else, and that is a thought comes into your head that you don't want, and you have the choice to quit it, to let push it aside.
Right.
That would accompany the Yetzer Hara. That contemplating is delving into that thought. And
okay.
So you're working it.
Yes. Where you feel that's here, whore. Because you're not talking. You're not thinking. You're not planning on saying it. It's right. Thought for just thought.
We're getting it. Okay. So when you're talking, it.
You're walking through these mavoyes metunufais over there, these filthy alloys, and you're thinking Torah. So you're never planning on talking. You're not standing there as you're walking, formulating a speech that you're going to say. So what are you doing by thinking over here?
You're quoting in a shaman.
He says, "I feel lavid mida. I feel a latav. Even if he's thinking good things, he didn't do anything. I am sham b'daf lamed alamed beis." So yesh leimer dahainel hisara leela. That means what? In order that it should arouse above, Shiyum Shechmesham Latata, that should be drawn down here below. So he talked about in chapter 16 that Machshava Taiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mistarefes L'Maisis, a statement in the Gemara that I'm not sure if the Alter Rebbe is the only one who thought that who presents the correct interpretation, or if the standard interpretation of that is that it's wrong per se, or it's just the Alter Rebbe's insight into it. So it says that if a person has a good thought, Hashem connects it to Maisa. Okay? The world interprets that statement to mean that Hashem considers it as though he did it. You were thinking about giving $5 to tzedakah today. You didn't, for some reason, get around to it. So Hashem considers as though you did it. Okay, that's how the world interprets that statement. The Alter Rebbe says if that would be the case, it should say ki'ilo osa. It should say that machshava teiva nachshavas Hashem ki'ilo osa. Hashem could consider it as though he did it. It's not what it says. It says machshava teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistarefes l'maisa. Hashem connects the thought to the deed. So, like, for example, what did he say back in chapter 16? That if a person is sitting and thinking, he's going through the process, he's doing the meditating, and, for example, he's not getting the excitement that he should normally get under those circumstances following that prescription, and after he gets through sitting and thinking and he goes and he does what he would normally do, and he's not really expressing it in any type of an intellectual thing, but what's spurring him on to do it was this whole preliminary preparation. And it wasn't his fault that he's not getting excited. He's done the thing. He's thought, I should be getting excited right now. But he doesn't feel it in his heart. He doesn't feel anything real. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Machshava Teva, his good thought that right now I should be thinking love and fear, and I should be feeling love and fear, when he goes and now does the mitzvah that he's going to do, that he was preparing for. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll consider it as though he had the wings. I'll let it fly. Mm. He's not doing, because why? He's not doing it just out of a sense of obedience, which we said it would be if he didn't have love and fear. He's doing it because he understands and he thinks the excitement that's supposed to go with this mitzvah. It's not his fault he doesn't feel it. Hashem made him that way. So Hashem says, okay, you know, I'll give you an E for effort. You get an A plus for your actions.
As if you flew there.
Correct. It's not that if I thought about putting on tefillin this morning, I didn't have a chance, I didn't put on tefillin, Hashem does not consider as though I put on tefillin. I did not put on tefillin this morning. But if when I'm putting on the tefillin, I'm thinking I should be doing this with a feeling of self-abnegation and a way of getting closer to Hashem, and I'm doing it that for that reason, but I don't feel a sense of self-abnegation, I don't feel like I'm getting closer to Hashem, so Hashem says, you know what, okay, we'll consider it as though you did. Okay, so that's what he says back in chapter 16. So what does that do? So it says, when a person thinks down here, so it arouses above. What does it arouse above? It's not just flipping on light switches up there. You know, I'm sitting, I'm thinking about how Hashem fills all the world and encompasses all the worlds until compared to the worlds, all Hashem is the world, compared to Hashem, the world is nothing. So it's not flipping light switches on. What it's doing is drawing down Elikus. Because we say, every time we make an initiating move, Hashem responds in greater kind. So this, that the person's even thinking, so it causes Hashem to respond and to bring down more godliness into this world. The only thing is that the thought doesn't draw down anything. It's not really happening yet. Umaisifu sham or godl betaisis riboy or godzilus. There is an additional godly turn on a charge, you might say, in the world of Atzilus. Ali de mikra mitzvahs amaisia shibasia. When the person is, for example, like reading Chumash, for example, and he's reading a story. That's how he answers two questions at once. Okay, he's reading a story about an Avraham and a fire and a stone and etc. and a load. And all it is just a story. All it is. So what happens is it's in the Torah for a reason. Like you said, there's tremendous lessons that have to be learned. The person's not learning lessons over here. He's reading fairy tale stories to his kids, Rahman al-Islam. He's reading stories to his kids. Okay, so what that does is it elicits the Chachma Allah from whence this story came, that he has now connected himself to it. And he's drawn down that godliness that is representative of where that story came from, the source of that story came from, down here in this world. So yes, you can fulfill the precept of Lechtecha V'Derech, walking on the way, when you're walking to shul with your little kids and you're telling them Parsha stories. She'ikr hirhu l'mayla. It says, the main thinking, we are the world of Asiya. Here, the main thing is action. So the guy actually goes and puts on the tefillin, does the learning. So then, whatever it was that he was thinking, so that causes it to fly. But up in the higher worlds of Atzilus, for sure in Bria. So that's where the main thing is. That isn't, those are the realms of thought. Rak ha'peiros ba'olam hazeh. But the fruit, meaning the byproduct, godliness, that was generated by this person thinking and opening up those channels in the world of Atzilus, in the world of Bria, draws godliness down into this world. And this happens when a person's talking, when he's learning, when he's doing. Which is not the case when he's just sitting and thinking. Doesn't draw down anything. That's why it says in that instance when the Zohar says that a person is lo avin midei, when a person is sitting and thinking, he didn't do anything. So that's referring to, like, for example, saying the Shema. Person has a mitzvah to say the Shema twice a day. And he's sitting there and he's thinking all the insights into the first pasuk of the Shema. Okay, we can go into, we could spend, there's books written on it. Okay, and he's sitting there and he's thinking and he's really in the groove, and it became nighttime. So you didn't say the Shema? And if it's after 10 o'clock in the morning in Detroit, like in this time of year, so he didn't say it bismani. He didn't say, he doesn't have the mitzvah of saying Shema bismani. But he's sitting and thinking. He's thinking about the insights into the Kabbalistic inferences from the Shema. No, here, Lavid Midei. When he's just thinking, he didn't do anything. Because, that's what it said, when he's thinking, he didn't do. It's two different things. So he's defeating the purpose why he still came down into this body. He's sitting there thinking, I'm doing great things. I'm learning all this Kabbalah. And I'm sitting here and thinking about all this Kabbalah stuff. And I really got a good insight into what spirituality is. That's not why he's here. Our soul specifically, if Hashem would have wanted thought, we could have stayed up in Gan Eden someplace. We could have stayed connected to our source before we came into our body. And we would have appreciated the finer nuances of unlimitation. Okay, we're here in this world specifically to do physical actions. That's why our soul came into the body. Rak lahamshich oiris el yoinim lamata. We are here in order to draw down godliness from very high levels down here to this very terrestrial world. As it's explained in the Eitz Chaim by the Rizal, lahamshich or. To draw down godliness. But as far as elevating goes, that you have to think. Because we said, there's another statement, in every next page, I believe it is, in Masechta Brachos. Person, okay, so he's sitting and thinking. And he's really into the groove. And the time goes past, he didn't say Shema. Oops. Okay, but it's the other way. The person just said the Shema without thinking. No thought whatsoever. Knocked it off. No thought whatsoever. Just sang right through it.
Right.
Okay? So he did the mitzvah. But it's not flying because it's missing the kavana. As the Gemara clearly states, mitzvah b'loy kavana kiguf b'loy neshama. A mitzvah that's done without intention, which intention means love and fear of Hashem, is like a body with no soul. You have a body, it's there, did something, yeah, but it's not moving.
So it stays in a seer.
Stays in a seer. Without fear and love, it's not flying. Because of Bashar HaNavua Perek Beis, as it says over there. The Hamachshava Teva, and this good thought, so Hashem connects it to Maisa, as we just said before. Okay, he'll sit and he'll think, he'll be in all the Kabbalistic intentions, and it doesn't get him excited physically. For whatever reason, there's a disconnect between his heart and his head. But intellectually, he understands that he should be, at this point, his heart should be pumping, and he should be having a fiery, flaming love affair with the Almighty. But he's not.
He knows he's saying Shema. So
and then he goes and he says the Shema based on it, and he says, well, I gotta have this, I should be having this fiery love affair with Hashem. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, but I gotta say Hashema. So in that case, then it says, Hashem connects the thought to deed. Uma shekasa de bakar rakin. It says over there before, it says elsewhere, that it pierces the heaven. That means even without love and fear. Oh, question. On one hand, we say that a mitzvah of Shema without the kavanah is like a body without a soul. In another place, I believe it's in the Zohar, so it says that the person who just does the mitzvah without thinking about it, so his mitzvahs pierce the heavens. So you got, does it fly or does it not fly?
Flies up to Asiya, I would think. Asiya is a physical world before.
So, well, we'll let him answer.
It's infinitely, the end of Asiya is infinite.
Yeah. Well, the Kol Shekinah says, B'dvarim B'talim, for sure what happens when a person is just speaking idle chatter. Zaysa Maris, meaning, the Gam Sham Yesh Eze Taiva. Like, for example, that a person has some kind of desire. Okay, there's a story involving the Baal Shem Tov. The guy comes to the Baal Shem Tov, he's got a complaint. He read in some Sefer Kabbalah book someplace that if you don't talk Dvarim B'Talim for 40 days, you will see Eliyahu HaNavi. And he hasn't said Dvarim B'Talim for more than 40 days, and he never saw Eliyahu HaNavi. So he has a complaint against Hashem. So the Baal Shem Tov asked him, did you daven during those 40 days? He said, sure. Three times a day during the week and four times on Shabbos. So he said, did you say Tillim during those 40 days? He said, I said the whole Tillim every single day. Okay, so the Baal Shem Tov said to him, those are your Dvarim B'Talim. Dvarim B'Talim means empty words. His davening and his tillim was empty. Okay, so no revelation of Eliyahu for him. Okay, so demita taiva maruba. It says that Hashem's attribute of good far outweighs his attribute of bad. Dahaina rakiyan dafka. What does it do? It's the meaning to say. How are we going to answer this? That the mitzvah, which is done without kavana. It is elevated, and it does split the heavens. Shehein hechalas v'habatim v'lo begufa adam elyon. It only affects the outer side. It's only the exterior, the anterior aspect of the world that gets affected. Yes, when a person says Shema before 10:05 tomorrow morning. And he just knocks it off, rattles it right off. So his Shema will be elevated, provided that he didn't do it for some ulterior motive. So his Shema will be elevated, but it's not elevated to a quality place. He gets sort of like the
Motel 6.
Yeah, he gets the Motel 6. I think of a good example. So, yeah, he gets the one-star hotel going on over there.
That's Tuesday.
Velo gufa adam elyein, and he doesn't get the body of the sphere itself. The kol shekein b'neiran, and if he doesn't get the body of this of the spheres, for sure he's not getting the neshamas of the spheres. Afilo b'adam d'asiya, even in the world, the 10 spheres of asiya, in that world of action, shen yitzviras oiris v'kelim, that the 10 spheres of asiya, the physical, the spiritual world realm of action, there are 10 spheres. And they're a whole lot more spiritual than we are in this world. So the fact that it even went that far is also an accomplishment, because he was able to elevate from the realm of the physical to the realm of the spiritual. That without fear and love and fear, his deeds cannot rise up before Hashem, is what it says. You can underline that. Before Hashem, meaning in the innermost aspects of the affecting the creation process, his just rattling off the Shema won't reach that far. But, like I say, if he didn't do it with an ulterior motive, he just said it and just knocked it off, it'll still be elevated. And that is the end of the first essay, to be continued.